When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the After 9 Podcast Studios, this is After 9 with Scott and Kat.
Hello, friends. Happy Tuesday if you are listening to this on Tuesday. Some of you just like to binge on a weekend. So whatever the day is, I wish you a happy day. It is Kat Callahan with you here, and Scott is still off. Scott is away for the time being. I'm going to say the same thing that Dave stressed yesterday on the pod. Scott is okay. He'll be back at some point this week. And that's all we'll say about that, because it's really up to Scott what he wants to share with you when he does arrive back in here again at some point this week. Dave did join me on the show, but unfortunately, he has boss things to do, because he is a boss, and I'm sure that that's not unfortunate for him. So he has things that he has to get to. So we did appreciate him being on the pod with us yesterday, but he can't join us here. The other thing I wanted to add is an apology for those who are wondering, but where have the misconnections been? It should have been on the pod yesterday. It wasn't. That was my bad, and it is on this podcast. So if you are looking forward to misconnections, hang on. It'll be coming up in just a bit. There's a couple of things I want to talk about, including, it's a big one. The woman in charge of weapons on the set of Rust was sentenced yesterday. Her name is Hannah Gutierrez Reed. She was the weaponer, the one who was in charge of making sure that everything was safe and the weapons were, I mean, that's literally the only job that she had. And we all know that there were live bullets in that gun that she handed to Alec Baldwin, which inevitably got Helena Hutchins killed. 18 months, the max possible sentence was handed down for her involvement yesterday. And she cried all the way through the sentencing. And I'm sure very sad. She never thought at 20, by the way, I think she's like 26, 27 years old. So young in her career still. And I'm sure she knew a thing or two about guns. But, you know, everybody screws up at work. This we know. Everybody screws up at work. This is beyond a screw up, though, right? I mean, you're talking about a life lost because of a screw up. And there's a few jobs where that could be the case. For her, I'm sure she never thought that day would come. So nonetheless, I'm sure she felt awful, and she said that during her trial. However, they still believe that she is guilty of incompetence, essentially. That's what that says to me. She won't do the full 18 months, probably. We were trying to figure out exactly how much time that Hannah's going to actually do behind bars. I don't even think it's going to be a year. I don't even think it's going to be a year, and she's definitely not going to work in the industry again, I think. Up next is Alec Baldwin's trial, which is coming up in July, my friends. And I will absolutely be watching the shit out of that. A few other things I was talking about during what's trending today, too. The owners of the white Bronco that belonged to O.J. Simpson are selling it. They have been sitting on this thing. Obviously, great timing for them, not for O.J. Simpson. But since O.J. Simpson passed away, they're looking to sell this. They say they want $1.5 million for this. It also happens to be the 30th anniversary of the Bronco chase. And there's been some renewed interest in a lot of memorabilia. I don't know if you guys have been perusing online. It was actually Dave that brought this to my attention, so I looked it up. A lot of people have been hanging on to O.J. Simpson memorabilia until he dies. But this happens. We know O.J. Simpson's backstory. By all means, do you think he's a horrible person? He's done some shitty things, and that's true. However, people are willing to buy more, or I should say it's valued higher because he died, and that's usually what happens. Whether we're talking about an actor, anybody famous in any case, obviously when they die, the value goes up. So will someone want this Ford Bronco? I don't know, but it is going up for sale, and they hope that this auction gets them $1.5 million. That's another thing that I will keep my eye on. I also love talking about cool technology, and we've talked about Neuralink on the pod. Elon Musk is part of Neuralink. This is the brain chip that helps those who don't have abilities. For example, a quadriplegic is currently one of the people who has this implanted brain chip. His name is Noland, and Elon gave us a bit of an update a little while back. He says that he's starting to play video games. He's using it regularly and getting used to the ability to play video games just through this chip, which controls everything. That's kind of cool. And I think, I mean, the end game here is for people to have the ability to walk and talk again. That's the goal. But there's a rival now. That's where the news comes in. Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates of Amazon and Microsoft, you guys probably don't need me to tell you that, are now entering the world of implantable brain tech. They have teamed up through Synchron Inc. Now, Synchron Inc. was already a company. However, they're doing this under the Synchron Inc. umbrella. They need all the money that they can because it's very, 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 very expensive. And so they are in the hopes of being a competitor to Neuralink when and if Neuralink actually becomes a reality, a household reality, which, hey, we hope. I mean, again, that's the goal. And we want people to be able to have abilities that they otherwise don't have right now, right? So I do think that everybody should wish them good luck on this, but they are not in trials yet. They're actually launching an online registry for people who want to potentially be involved in trials because it hasn't been approved yet. Neuralink has. Obviously, the trials are underway. And like I said, Elon says so far that those are going quite well. But Synchron is going to be the new potential brain chip. I find that cool. I find that kind of stuff really cool. Would I volunteer myself? I don't know. I think unless you're in a position to need it or feel like you need it, I don't know how many people would do it. And finally, I do want to mention this real quick because I find this interesting too. We got an update on the ship that ran the bridge in Baltimore, right? I think most people, you know, March 26, Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore collapsed. So two things with this. Number one, they located a fourth body yesterday. They also located what they believe to be one of the missing construction vehicles. When they say what they believe to be, that makes me feel as though they can see it with their technology, but they haven't yet retrieved it from the water. That's my guess. But they've opened a criminal investigation. It is official. The FBI, who will work alongside Coast Guard, they've opened a criminal investigation. So they boarded the ship yesterday to begin that investigation. What led them to doing that? I don't know. Anybody who watches the video, I know nothing about it. I know nothing about how to operate a ship of that size. I have my boater's license in Ontario, and I should barely be controlling a boat. So I certainly am not one to say that I know how those work. But everyone thought it was kind of fishy. Everyone thinks it's kind of strange that the boat seemed to literally spin and divert in order to hit that bridge, right? All you need is eyeballs to see it. So I don't know if they even needed to have someone bring something to their attention or a piece of evidence to come forward. However, they are going to investigate it criminally just in case. Or maybe they do know something and they just need the evidence. So we will keep you updated on that too. And finally, another story. I have a thought on this. I have a thought on what we should be doing from here forward. And it's maybe a message to Waterloo Regional Police specifically. Once again, the second time in 1 week, police in Waterloo Region raided a store called Fun Guys. These stores are in Kitchener and Cambridge. They raided both. And once again, twice in less than a week, these magic mushroom stores were raided. And sure enough, police seized a large quantity of psilocybin, aka magic mushrooms, in various forms. They also seized some Canadian currency. That's all they'd say about that. They didn't necessarily say it was a large amount of Canadian currency. My guess is they only accepted cash. That makes sense. And they arrested two people, a 23-year-old man and a 32-year-old woman, who are both from Cambridge. And they say they're facing charges of possession for the purpose of trafficking. We've talked about this place on the podcast many a times. And the last time it happened, like I said, less than a week ago, a 36-year-old from Kitchener and a 19-year-old from Cambridge, so two different people, were arrested and were facing a number of drug-related charges when they raided the two shops. They are openly, for those who don't live in this area, they are openly advertising what they're selling. So something tells me, a couple of thoughts on this. Something tells me whatever they're being charged with or whatever these people are being faced with. And again, I'm going to fully admit it's nothing I know too much about. Whatever they're being charged with or facing is not worth whatever they're making in selling magic mushrooms. Eventually, magic mushrooms, I think, are going to be legal in Canada, I should say. I not specific to Ontario, just in Canada in general. It could be. There's a lot of research being done, a lot of people who believe it's going to kind of be just like marijuana was. And by all means, if you think back to when head shops were under the table selling weed and everybody knew someone who was selling weed from those locations or certain locations, and they got busted too. There's some that got busted. You think back to that. At the time, it was like, oh, here we go again, but it's going to be legal eventually. It's going to be legal, and here we are, and it's legal. But if the government doesn't get a hand in making money off of it, there's a problem for them. The second part, and I do agree with this part, and this is completely fair, we need to make sure it's safe, right? If you're buying something, if you're buying a product that is not regulated, it's worrisome, especially with the amount of fentanyl that's everywhere, and other hard drugs that, thankfully, I will say again, I don't know too much about. However, that would be a scary thought, right? I mean, if you do this and somebody screwed up somewhere, there's no regulation. So that's the reason why I think it would be very important for it to be regulated and legal. However, people are still going to buy it. People are still going to buy it. And there's a lot of research on psilocybin in other areas of the world where it is legal or is being legalized that goes to show that it's very, very helpful for a lot of people in a lot of cases, whether they are suffering from anxiety or any number of things. There's a bunch of studies out there. Look them up yourself, because I'm not gonna tell you all about it or act like I'm preaching for it or against it. I don't know. Never done it in my life. Never done it. But the other part to this that I was going to mention is regional police, any police service, they will usually, they're on social, right? And they give us in media releases. So they tell us when there's arrests being made, hey, there was a break and enter here. We arrested this person. Possession's another one of those that come up. Hey, we caught someone doing this, illegal activity, guns, whatever. In this case, I feel like I don't know what the rules are. I don't know what the rules are, and I'd love to know. But do regional police, any police force, have to tell us about these arrests? And the reason why I'm asking is I feel like all the media around here in the Kitchener-Waterloo region where we record this podcast is talking about this today. The fact that this is the second time in a week that this place has been raided. The fact that these people are going to do it, potentially going to do it again. I don't know what it takes to be completely shut down. It's a great question I have, because that's not a part of this story at all, is shutting down and locking the doors. If I'm not mistaken, this place or another place has had that happen to them before, but it's one of those things that you're punished for a bit and then you can open again. And inevitably, when they open again, they're going to sell illegal things. But they're advertising it, is my point. Police are advertising the name of the store. Police are advertising all of this information, and then the media, as we do, grab this story and we talk about it. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but what I'm thinking is, if this is an actual problem or an issue, are you wanting them to get caught so that you can shut them down? Like, maybe that's the end game here. But otherwise, you're just advertising the fact that these people have magic mushrooms. They openly advertise it, by the way. They put it on, someone told me it was social media. I haven't personally seen it, so I'm not going to say that's a for sure. But they will advertise it. So I don't know what the right thing to do here is, especially when you're the police and you want to boast about catching people. Yeah, absolutely. That's great. You want people to know their taxpayer money is going to good use. Look what we did. We caught this person. We caught this. We seized this. Great. We love it. And by all means, it could be dangerous. Not to say that this stuff is. I don't know what's in it. But we don't want that stuff on the street, right? In case. However, at a certain extent, you have to wonder, if you actually want it off the street, do you advertise? You're essentially advertising it. I don't know. That's where I draw the line, and I think it's kind of like we have to reevaluate that. Because by all means, if you want magic mushrooms, you're going to know the story. You already know the story. You already know the place. You already know there's two locations. They do the advertising for you. And again, the media that takes it too, and myself included, by the way, who's talking about it. But I just find that interesting. I find that interesting in a lot of cases similar to this. Like I said, before weed was legal, I remember similar stories. And you know what I'll also relate it to? Do we all remember during COVID, a barbecue place, which actually I don't think I'd name anyway, but the name escapes me. I think we all know the story. This guy who ran the barbecue continued to open and allow clients indoors when you weren't allowed to, and openly did it. But there was so much media attention and so much police presence that it was almost an advertisement for anyone else who wanted to say, fuck the rules, right? You wanted to say it, you showed up to this. And it was essentially an advertisement. So where do you draw the line? I don't know, but I do find it, I don't know, I find it interesting. From my end, anyway. I don't know what the right answer is, but I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Without further ado, like I said, this is going to be a short one because I do have some stuff to get to today, and I forgot about the misconnections yesterday, so I'm going to play that for you. Should be back with another new episode. Will Scott join? I don't know the answer to that in the present time, but like I said, he will be back at some point this week. I believe. And he's fine. So you don't have to DM and ask if he's okay. And please maybe give him a little bit of space and a little bit of privacy too. If you've been DMing him, maybe give him a little breather. How about that? And he will come on the podcast eventually and tell you everything that he wants to tell you. But he will be back, okay? And without further ado, here's Missed Connections, and you have yourself a good one.
Missed Connections. Missed Connections on the Scott and Kat Show.
Can I just say I'm really excited to be part of this?
Oh, I'm excited that you're a part of this as well.
I get to hear this. Mm-hmm. Every single week in the Scott and Kat Show, and I don't get a chance to participate all the time. Well, with Scott off, I get a chance to listen.
And you're in for some beauties.
I get a chance to partake in Missed Connections.
You're in for some beauties. We scour the web, we check out all these very strange Missed Connections, and we bring you some of the finest right here on the Scott and Kat Show. Dave, this first one's called You Got Hit by a Car.
Oh, there's a connection already.
I was outside smoking. You were crossing the street when you got hit by a car. You bounced off the hood and landed on your feet.
Oh my God, this is an X-Men?
Yelling something about being indestructible. The other night I almost got trapped in a dumpster because I was going after a pizza I thought I wanted to take home with me. So
Wait, what?
I feel we'd be a good fit for each other. Do you want to move in together? Or get married?
Yes.
I think this is a perfect couple.
The story went a lot of different ways.
A lot of directions, yeah. So let's recap here. So outside smoking, you see someone get hit by a car. Oh my gosh, are they dead? No. Bounced off the hood, landed on their feet like a cat with nine lives.
Yeah, not only are they okay, they're indestructible.
I'm indestructible! I think that they call that drug something, but I don't know. Just a guess.
Well, I call that adrenaline.
It's adrenaline.
You get hit by a car, you're like, I don't feel a thing.
Also potentially brought on by drugs. But we don't know for sure. We don't know that.
No.
You don't know. I don't know.
Well, the next turn is just equally as concerning. I was about to grab a pizza out of the dumpster.
Yes. Yes.
And then just be on with the night? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that they're probably perfect for each other, really.
Love is in the
air. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing, is what it is.
When two people who are meant to get to be together find each other, it is beautiful.
Speaking of which, the next one's called I Tried to Steal Your Purse.
No! Okay.
By the way, everybody, can we just stop down for a second and be careful out there, okay? If these misconnections tell us anything, can we just all please be careful?
From the desk of Kat Callahan.
People are driving around hitting people, stealing purses. I mean, it's a dangerous world we live in.
An official memo. Somebody's trying to steal your purse and then they want to hook up.
You came out of Walmart and I followed you. You looked over your shoulder. I ran up quickly, took your purse and ran away. I've done a lot of snatch and grabs, but no one's ever stuck in my mind quite like you. There was a moment our eyes met. I felt something strong, and I think you felt it too. If I wasn't so shy or committing a crime, I would have asked your name. Of course, I realized later, I have your name.
Oh, no.
And your driver's license and your address, too. So, Candace, if you'd like to get together for a drink sometime, get back to me. Should we answer for Candace? I don't want to step on anyone's toes here or assume anything.
Would you like to role play Candace?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Kat Callahan will be playing the role of Candace.
Hell no! I don't want to go for a drink with you! And now I have to go to Service Ontario. Do you know how horrible that place is? I had to fill out a new form because of you and pay a fee!
What about your health card?
I had to go back to a different Service Ontario because the one I went to wouldn't do health cards for some reason.
It sounds like a match made in heaven.
And my purse was very expensive!
Oh, yeah, right. So, if this person gets the date, did they get the purse back?
Well, this would be a good idea. He didn't even... doesn't specify. But I think that would be important. Like, P.S., I'll give your stuff back. Yeah, sure. Me and the cops will show up, you jerk.
Is there anybody on the other end who's going, you know, maybe he is a good guy after all. He's willing to give me my stuff back.
You know what, though? Maybe. Sad part is, like, well, I tried all the apps. Tinder didn't work, so.
So I figured I'd just steal a purse.
Ooh, maybe this is it.
Kat, I think what we've learned here is that love works in
mysterious
ways.
Mysterious ways. Sometimes one second you're getting hit by a car, the next second you're getting your purse snatched and a date.
And you're getting invited to dinner. It's beautiful.
It's lovely. Wait, is he paying with her wallet?
Oh, can you imagine? Hey.
Like, wait, that's my MasterCard.
I got this one. And I tip generously.
He puts on her lipstick like,
Oh, no. This has turned into a really sideways story here.
That's what misconnections are all about.
Oh, you gotta love it.
Love it.
A new declaration in Mexico gives 19 cats roaming the presidential palace food and care forever. That's cute. In gratitude, the cats will act like they want you to rub their belly. Then if you do, claw the bejesus out of your arm.
We have maybe the biggest story of the year so far, a bombshell announcement from Gary, the Golden Bachelor, and his bride.
And we've kind of come to the conclusion mutually that it's probably time for us to dissolve our marriage.
Get a divorce.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
3 months after getting married.
Yes.
Yes.
3 months. Gary takes peas longer than that marriage lasted.
In its war on rats, New York City now plans to deploy rodent birth control that comes in the form of salty pellets, which will hopefully be more effective than their last idea, teeny tiny condoms.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.